Welcome to Cat Chat, brought to you by Dr. Elsie's Precious Cat, privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose personal mission has been to formulate a wide variety of litters for all types of cats so they keep using their litter box, which keeps them in their loving homes. Dr. Elsie has also created clean protein, wet and dry foods that are specifically appropriate for a cat's nutrition needs. I'm Tracy Hotchner, the author of The Cat Bible, Everything Your Cat Expects You to Know. My mission is to entertain, educate, and inspire cat lovers like you to give your kitty cats the best possible life in nutrition, affection, and environmental enrichment. Often sharing my conversation with feline expert Dr. Michael Maria Delgado, along with other cat authors and experts. Dr. Elsie's is also the founding and continuing sponsor of my New York Cat Film Festival, which brings together short films from around the world that celebrate kitty cats. The festival premieres every fall in New York City and then travels to theaters across America and Canada, with a portion of every ticket going to local cat welfare organizations with the support of Dr. Elsie's. I am so delighted to be back with Zazie Todd. Her book, Purr, The Science of Making Your Cat Happy, is brand new and chock full of the most wonderful advice on how to make your cat happy and how to avoid making your cat unhappy. And Zazie, one of the things that's on your happiness checklist is, I never use spray bottles, shake cans, or other forms of punishment with my cat. When in heaven's name did a squirt bottle, not just with water, but some people put lemon juice in it to be more obnoxious, when did that become a way to communicate to your cat that you didn't want them on the counter or maybe in the baby's crib? I mean, that's been around a long time, and smart people have known that that's no way to teach a cat something you don't want them to do.
It has been around a long time, and unfortunately, when we use this kind of approach, it's called an aversive, because it works by doing something the cat doesn't like to try and stop them from doing something. And the risk is that you can make the cat fearful or anxious or stressed. And another risk is that they will actually come to associate that with you, because yes, it's you shaking the can or yes, you squirting the bottle. And so it may actually damage your relationship with the cat, unfortunately. So it's really best not to do those things, but instead to think more about how you can set your house up right so your cat is set up for success, and what you would like to do, and maybe even to train your cat to do things. But definitely avoid using those, you know, the squirt bottles and the clapping of the hands or whatever, because it's going to startle your cat, and it potentially might make them fearful and anxious in the longer term, not just in that moment. And we have a ton of research on dogs that shows that there are quite severe risks to some of the aversive methods that people use. We have less work with cats, but there is some research on training cats, and we know that training them with positive methods is actually good for them. So it's like you have a choice between something which has risks and is bad for them, or other kinds of training methods which actually are good for them.
Yes, and which would you choose?
Pretty obvious.
Pretty obvious. Yeah, well, we'll do a separate show on training, because you have some great suggestions of how to train a cat to do two or three very simple things that are very engaging for the cat's mind and fabulous for the human-animal bond. I think, as you point out in Purr, when the cat sees you coming holding the squirt bottle, they do have great memories. And unfortunately, many of them hold a grudge for life. So if you've already did it once, you got a lot of undoing to do. But they see you coming with the squirt bottle, and all they see is their supposedly beloved human being vile and evil. They don't connect it to the thing that they are doing or thinking of doing at that moment. Basically, jumping on the kitchen counter seems to be everyone's worst nightmare. They see the person as just being this mean attacker. I mean, they are prey and predator. So a cat is hardwired to be worried about being preyed upon. And when you come at them with a shake can or a bottle, you are attacking them. It's aggressive. It's not just not teaching them something. You've now created an image of yourself in their mind as someone to avoid. What about cats' memories? I mean, my understanding is that if one cat, for example, attacks another in redirected aggression, sees another cat outside the window, turns to his neighbor, his partner cat, and attacks him unprovoked, that often the attacked cat will never fully forgive or forget. Always be wary of that cat. Do you think that's true scientifically?
I think it can vary. I think sometimes they will remember and be wary of that cat in the same way that they might continue to be wary of you. And the thing
Yes.
about people using aversive methods is that they typically don't just do it once, they typically
Yes.
keep on doing it. And so your cat will be building up this memory that actually you're not just the person who gives them food and pets them, but also you come at them with this horrible spray bottle. And so they will be quite confused about you and your
Yes.
role in their life, and it will be quite stressful for them. And unfortunately, stress can be a contributor to many behavior problems or issues. So you're also risking causing some kind of behavior issues in your cat as well. So especially if your cat already has behavior issues, you really want to stop using any aversives then, because you're just risking making them worse, unfortunately.
Absolutely right. And if you have a multi-cat household, just like people that were using the shake can with pennies in it to stop dogs from behavior, which was done as recently with me and dog trainers as, I don't know, 20 years ago, was considered standard. You tape all over with duct tape or something the can after you put a series of pennies in it, and you shake it at the dog when they're doing the thing you don't want. The problem is not only does it startle the dog and they forget exactly or don't understand what you're responding to, but if there's other dogs, or in the case of kitties, other cats around, they're being punished by the same aversive. So all the animals are experiencing this unprovoked, in their view, unprovoked attack by the human. I mean, it's you don't just affect your one cat if you have a multi-cat household. The other ones are aware that you're a danger also, right? I mean, that trust can be
Yes.
ruptured kind of down the line, in a sense. So, what do you think is the best way to keep the cat off the counter? We know that leaving a can of open can of tuna there is probably the opposite of what you should be doing. But do you ever believe in putting sticky tape on the edge of a counter so that when the cat jumps up, he gets a passive aversive, like you didn't do it to him, but the counter feels bad to him, so he doesn't go up on it. Do you think that has any value?
Well, I think it helps to understand why the cat is going on the counter, and it's partly because they like high up spaces
Yes,
anyway. So your
yes.
counter is just going to be attracted to your cat anyhow because it's high up. And also, if there's ever any food left out on there, then it's a source of food, and they'll be going there to look for food, and
Correct.
they'll remember very well that
Yes.
there has been food there. So as you say, don't leave a can of tuna out there. Don't leave any food out there that your cat will find, because then they will start looking again for food there in future. But another thing that a lot of people do that can be very helpful, because cats like high up places, is to find somewhere in the kitchen where you can put a cat condo where the cat can have their own high up space in the kitchen, and encourage them to go there instead of on the counter. And you can even leave little bits of food or treats in there to encourage them
Right.
to be looking there and to keep going there. And you can even go so far as to train them to be on there if you wish to. So that can really help quite a bit with the cat going on the counter. And the other thing is, it doesn't necessarily matter if you haven't left food out. You can just wipe the counter down before you prepare any food, and that might be okay too.
You can always do that, but do it, please, with an eco-friendly sprayer, as we talked about in our
Yes.
scent topic of our show recently. You don't want to, well, you could use bleach there. I suppose that would make it unappealing. But in general, if you could not use harsh smelling chemicals anywhere around the house, cats really don't like them. It makes the environment unpleasant for them. So it isn't so much that it will keep them off the counter, it just makes them altogether unhappy. And the whole book of point of your book, Purr, is to make them happy. Now, what do you think about designating the top of the fridge in most people's houses, unless they have some super fancy built-in fridge with cabinetry around it? Most people have the top of the fridge. Now, the cat would have to jump up there, usually off a counter or off a center work island. But if you were to tape something up there, some sort of carpeting or some kind of sheepskin that they could get a good grip on once they were up there. What about giving them their designated space? Because a lot of kitchens don't have room to put a full cat tree, right? What do you think about that? Do you think that solves the problem?
I think cats would like that, especially because there tends to be a lot of heat kicked out from the back of the fridge,
Right,
so it's also
right.
a nice warm space up there. So if that is a suitable place for your cat, then and you're happy with them being there, I think that's fine. Obviously, don't put anything that's going to block block the wall there. You do need a gap down the back of your fridge, and you don't want to be putting anything that, you know, might be a fire hazard or whatever. But yeah, I think your cat would like that for sure. And actually, I want to come back and say something else about the aversive methods, if that's okay.
Please, that's what we're talking about.
There's some research on dogs, which I think would also be relevant to cats. And the research on dogs shows that dogs that are trained with aversive methods are more pessimistic than dogs trained with reward-based methods. So, and that's a measure of over the long term. So that's like a long-term mood that it's affecting them. And I think no one's done this specific study with cats, and it would be interesting to see the results, but there's no reason to expect that it would be any different with cats. Probably cats would also be pessimistic if they were, you know, taught using aversive methods and squirt bottles and so on. So it's not just in the moment, it's more of a long-term effect as well.
That's such a charming word to use scientifically. I mean, your book follows the science in every area. It's full of great advice, but it's scientifically based, and that's what gives it such gravitas and value and power. But the idea that a study used that word about an animal, I think, shows we've come a long ways, Azzy, that a scientist and a research study is funded and gone through using a word that I think of as fairly humanistic, and yet dogs and cats can have a bright and sunny or a worried and pessimistic attitude to life. And I think it's pretty wonderful that research is done showing the depth of their emotions and how far-reaching our actions are in their entire outlook on life. We have it in our power to give them as good a life and as good an outlook on life as they can possibly muster. And aversives are the way to interfere with that ability. And I think your book does a great job of steering us towards kindness and to understand when we've been mean and thought we were doing the right thing. I guess in the olden days, they used to beat children or rap them on the knuckles or humiliate them in the corner of a classroom. And we know that doesn't work for humans. So it surely doesn't work for our pets either. So thank you for this advice. It's really wonderful. And again, the book is Purr, The Science of Making Your Cat Happy, and Zazie Todd is the wonderful woman behind it. Thank you, Zazie.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope this conversation has deepened your understanding and appreciation of cats everywhere. It's been brought to you by Dr. Elsie's Precious Cat, which created their own clean protein cat foods, inspired by the protein levels found in a cat's natural prey, to better satisfy a cat's appetite with ingredients naturally intended for her body. 90% of the protein in clean protein is animal-based, not plant-based, as in many cat foods, which can compromise cats' health. Clean protein is the first dry cat food I can personally recommend as a healthy choice, although I always hope that wet food will be your cat's primary diet. Thanks again for being here.